The High Court also decided an issue that will affect judicial elections. The case involved a Minnesota rule, similar to that in several other states, that prohibits people running for a state judge position from talking about their views on controversial issues. The court ruled 5-4, a candidate has the right to express his views, and the voters have a right to know what those views are. As NPR's Barbara Bradley reports, some worry that this ruling will harm the impartiality of judges.
Gregory Wursel ran 3 times for a seat on Minnesota's high court and lost all 3 times. In one of those elections, a conservative Republican was reprimanded for making it clear that he didn't agree with the more liberal state court. As in other states, Minnesota prohibits candidates from sharing their views on controversial issues that are likely to come before them later on. Wursel sued, along with the state Republican Party. They argued that judicial candidates have First Amendment rights, too. Just as political candidates can tell voters their views, so should would-be judges. The case made its way up to the U.S. Supreme Court, and today the court agreed with Wursel. Writing for the majority, Justice Antonin Scalia said it's silly to say that merely articulating their views will make judges biased and partial. Steve Shapiro is the National Legal Director at the ACLU.
Judges do not come to the bench with total blank minds. They are people who have thought about the issues that they're going to confront. And if we're going to ask people to vote on who ought to be judges, then they ought to have the right to know who they are voting for and what those people stand for.
The case is a victory for social conservatives, who have been among the most active in wanting to know the views of candidates on issues like abortion, the death penalty, and the like. Jay Sekulow of the American Center for Law and Justice says social conservatives have been burned in the past.
I think it's because they feel betrayed by the judiciary, that they've had judges that get into office and that they campaign for and work for and find out that their judicial philosophy is nothing as to what they thought it was going to be. What this will do, I think, is add a level of accountability.
Until recently, judicial elections have been a relative backwater, attracting little attention and few campaign dollars. But all that changed in the year 2000. In part, says Stephen Bocat at the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, that's because business interests realized that the ultimate power lay not in the legislature, but in the judges who reviewed laws that the politicians passed.
What would happen is we would achieve significant reforms of the legal system as they relate to business liability decisions, excessive punitive damages, abusive class actions, and so on. We would achieve these victories in the legislatures only to see them reversed by state Supreme Courts.
But critics like Charles Jay at Indiana University say this ruling could change the dynamic of judicial decision-making. He notes that judges are still prohibited from saying how they would rule in any particular case, but a judge could still feel beholden to the campaign stance he took during the election.
Put yourself in the position of the drunk driving defendant who goes before a judge who has said drunk driving is the worst offense imaginable and they ought to get the maximum. In that situation, he hasn't made a promise saying that's what he's going to do, but certainly it implies that when that defendant appears before that judge, he's not going to get a fair shake. He's going to basically get a judge who's already been judge and jury and isn't going to listen.
Robert Hirshon, the president of the American Bar Association, says a judge could also feel indebted to his contributors. He notes that campaign dollars have been flooding into judicial elections in the form of TV ads and other media. In some states like Texas, it now costs $2 million to run for a judgeship.
So where do you get that money? We have choices. We can either say judges now, in a very elitist way, are only going to come from the very, very wealthiest of lawyers, or judges in some way and somehow are going to be somewhat beholden to those individuals who either help raise the funds or provide the funds for their success.
The Supreme Court is clearly not endorsing electing judges. In fact, Justice Sandra Day O'Connor, the only justice who has actually run a judicial campaign, specifically criticized the practice. But Charles Jay says the court is making a point.
What they're saying is, states, you have made your bed, now sleep in it. The bed you have made is to create an elective judiciary, one in which essentially judges' independence is implicitly compromised.
And several analysts mentioned that the decision could foreshadow an even larger issue that will be before the court next term, namely whether campaign finance reform is constitutional. Barbara Bradley, NPR News, Washington.